It seems like every Sabbath when we come to church, the news of the week seems to get worse and worse, worse than the week before. This week, a new terrorist group rears its head in New Jersey. More elderly people being attacked in their homes or just going about their daily business, and so on it goes. It paints a pretty depressing and sad picture of humanity. But I don't want to focus on this sadness in this world today. I want to focus on something that is uplifting and encouraging. The words of encouragement are found in a hymn that we often sing. There's also a hymn that possibly hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of people know. It's a passage of scripture like many others we know well, that we might read often but don't give a lot of in-depth thought to. This idea came to me because of Dr. Oss mentioned a couple of times that even the scriptures that we read on a regular basis, even the simplest ones, have a lot more to say than you think if you only just meditate on them. So I took that cue and I'm using it today. So, the scripture I'm going to use today is a psalm, and it's related to the last hymn that we sang today. It's Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer. The purpose of my sermon is to go through this psalm and perhaps get a better appreciation, or a deeper appreciation if you like, of the love that God has towards us and which he reveals to us in the verses of this psalm. It's a beautiful passage of scripture that is in many ways also very prophetic. Like most chapters in this Bible, it starts with verse 1. The psalm begins in verse 1 and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now David is the author of this psalm, as we well know. He refers to God as a shepherd guarding his flock. Of course, in the physical world, a flock of sheep are usually at risk from predators and can be quite vulnerable, but with the shepherd along keeping watch, they become much stronger. If you like, he is their early warning system. He also guides them to greener pastures and brings them safely home again. With God and Jesus Christ as our spiritual shepherds, they protect us from the greatest predator of all, that is Satan. For without them, we are extremely vulnerable to falling back into this world's ways. So David acknowledges that God was his protector and provider, the one he looked to for all his needs. And this is something even Christ, the creator of all things, recognized when he came here as a human being. We see this in John 5, verse 30, where he states to the disciples, "I can, of myself, do nothing." David realized, as we must do, that we are weak, corruptible, mortal human beings. We have to depend entirely on God for all of our needs. And as this world marches on closer and closer to destruction, this realization will become more and more important to us. The psalm continues, "I shall not want." The want here means lack. David was totally confident that he would lack nothing to support his body and life. David knew that God would provide all his needs. David also echoed this sentiment in Psalm 34, verse 9, if you like to go there. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. In Psalm 34, verse 9, it says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." And in verse 10, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." So David clearly shows us that if we seek God in all aspects of our lives, we will lack for nothing to sustain our physical existence. Christ also reinforces this in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, God's word shows us that by following and obeying the one true shepherd, he will provide for us. From verses 25 through to verse 30, Christ tells us not to worry about things, not to worry about, and tells us how God feeds the sparrows and how God covers the fields with lilies. Basically, Christ is explaining how God takes care of his creation, which of course includes us. So let's read the first part of verse 28 of this chapter, Matthew 6, verse 28. The first part says, "And why take you thought for raiment?" In other words, why are we so concerned with worldly ideas such as what is fashionable, or keeping up with the Joneses, or the Smiths, or the Browns, or whoever you like to put there, when we should be grateful and happy with what God has provided? Then if we move on to verse 31 through to verse 34. Verse 31 says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In other words, we need to deal with the problems that we have today and not to worry about what may happen in the future. So David clearly understood that if we follow God's way of life, he will provide all that we need and we would lack for nothing. Notice, though, he says that with a proviso, what we need. The emphasis is on that and not what we desire. Back to Psalm 23. In verse 2 of Psalm 23, David went on to write, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." According to my New King James Version, "He makes me to lie down" is a Hebrew form implying casuality, which refers to a refreshment. So it's talking about relaxing and being at peace. In verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Whenever our spirits are low, we can go to him and he will lift us up again with more of his spirit, and then continue to work with us to bring us to a better righteousness or understanding of his law, so that our efforts glorify his name. In verse 4 it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no ill, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There are going to be times, brethren, in the future when we may have to walk through that valley, but we are reminded that as long as we are with God, we should fear no evil, for God is with us always, and he will continue to comfort and support us no matter what the world throws at us. And some may say we may be walking through part of that valley right now. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Once again, God is showing that he will bless and support us even in the presence of our enemies, for he has anointed us by calling us out of this world in these end times. And for that, our cup should be well and truly flowing over, especially with joy. Verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if we do all these things and rely on God and his loving kindness and his mercy, he will be with us all the days of our lives. And when our time comes, we will dwell with him forever. So the latter part of this verse is confirmed by 1 Peter 5:4. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4, which says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." So, in summary, this is only 6 verses, but it has a lot to say. I hope I've been able to show today that Psalm 23 is more than just a great hymn, but it has plenty to think about and meditate on. I have 5 quick points here in summary. I had to do a quick count there because I forgot to number them. First of all, it teaches us not to worry about clothes or food and drink, but to rely on God for all these things, for he knows what our needs are and what they will be long before we do. Point 2, it teaches us that if we keep on obeying him and working on our righteousness, then his loving kindness and mercy will always be with us. Point 3, it tells us to be grateful and joyful for all the blessings we have now, and that he will continue to bless and support us even in the presence of our enemies. 4, it tells us where we will go when the chief shepherd who gave his life for his flock returns. So, my apologies, there's only 4 points. Many churches sing this psalm without ever realizing or understanding what it is really saying. This psalm is a hymn of hope for all mankind, a hope for a better life and future, which it is sadly missing out on right now. So I hope I have been able to demonstrate today that most of the well-known scriptures still have much to say and to think about if we only just take the time. So, excuse me, let's finish on a positive note with one last scripture. John 10. John 10, verses 27 and 28. Where Christ, talking about his flock, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand."